Welcome to you all to our service this morning, especially those of you who are visiting. Maybe you're staying with family or friends for the weekend. Maybe you're just from our local community and you've decided to drop in and visit us this morning. Lovely to have you with us. And if you can stay behind afterwards and share some hot cross buns, that will be great. Well, it's Good Friday, and that means that Christians from all around the world are going to be gathering together today to celebrate the death of the Lord Jesus. I remember when I was a little fella, I used to think to myself, why do they call Good Friday good, when actually it's about possibly the saddest day of the year? And depending on which way you look at it, that's probably quite a legitimate question to ask. When you think that Jesus, who is the kindest, the most caring, the most loving person who ever lived, was put to death in such a cruel way, yet we call the day that we remember his death good. I mean, on the other side, there would be no Christianity if Jesus hadn't died on the cross. There would be no Christians. There would be no churches. And so this is the paradox of what Easter is really all about. On the one hand, we have the horror of the death of Jesus. On the other hand, we see the power that was unleashed by the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in the lives, particularly of the people who became his followers. If I was to say to you, did Adolf Hitler deserve to die? I think there would be a few people who would say, certainly. Osama bin Laden? Certainly. Martin Bryant, the greatest serial killer that we have in Australia? Yes, possibly. He's still in prison today. But I mean, you know, if a judgment had to be made, you know, there would be many people who would think, well, he deserves to die for what he has done. But Jesus Christ? Why should he die? What did he do that deserves death? What did his death accomplish? How does his death make a difference to life today? Well, this morning I want to give you five reasons that might help to answer those sorts of questions, which are legitimate questions to ask on Good Friday. And I want to whiz through these 5 points quickly, but I hope that in doing so, that we will have a clear understanding of what makes this day so special. And if you're a Christian, for you to be able to say today, that's why I'm a Christian. That's what is so precious to me about this day each year, and every other day for that matter. And if you're not a Christian, that maybe today, for the first time, the lights will go on and you'll start to understand the significance of the cross, the death of the Lord Jesus. I think the first reason why Jesus had to die was because God demands justice. God demands justice. Every time we read the story of the crucifixion, or we see a picture of Jesus hanging on a cross, or maybe a crucifix, it makes a powerful statement that there is evil in this world. The cross stands for all time as a stark and a visible reminder to us of the evil that there is in this world. Whenever you hear about another terrorist attack, maybe a murder, maybe a violent crime of some sort, you get reminded of just what human beings are capable of. Now, you might be sitting there this morning saying to yourself, I would never do anything like that, though. That's not me. I'm not like that. But, you know, it's presumptuous for us to think like that. I'm sure that if you went to the prisons here in Queensland and you talked to the prisoners who were there serving their time, you would hear many of them who would say, there was a time in my life when I would never have believed that I was capable of doing what I did. The reality is that deep in the inside of our hearts, that bit that nobody else sees except God, of course, we are all sinners. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There is no one who is righteous, not even one, it says in Romans chapter 3. Each one of us is a sinner. And one day we're going to have to stand before God and give an account of ourselves and the sin that we have committed in our lives. And it doesn't matter whether it's a sinful action or a sinful thought or a sinful attitude or some kind of sinful behaviour. God, who is a just God, is one day going to call each one of us to account for that sin. And it is because God is a good God that he has to punish evil and evildoers. Can you imagine a God who just simply turned a blind eye to the evil that is in the world? Said, oh, it doesn't matter. It's okay. It's all going to work out in the end. Would you want to follow that kind of God? Is that the kind of God that you would want to worship? It is actually because God is a loving God that he must deliver justice. And that's where Jesus comes in. Because Jesus steps in and he takes the judgment of God for us by dying in our place upon the cross. This is what we read in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, sorry, chapter 3 verse 18. When I can find it. Here we go. 1 Peter 3 verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Jesus suffered there upon the cross, the righteous one, the holy one, the perfect one, in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? To bring us to God. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. The wrath of God. Now, I know that when people think about God being a wrathful God, perhaps in the back of their minds they have the idea of God being this furious God who is filled with a sense of rage. And he's there waiting for somebody to punish. Well, that's maybe our idea of what wrath is all about. In actual fact, the wrath of God is probably better represented by a judge who, in a very controlled fashion, delivers justice to sinners who deserve to be punished. The wrathful God is the divine judge who pronounces in a very just and fair way, but a most deserving way, judgment against sin. And this is where Jesus comes in, because Jesus says, I'll take that judgment. I'll take it. And that's what Jesus did that day as he hung there upon the cross. The cross is a continual reminder to us that sin is very, very serious, but that Jesus is prepared to take the judgment of that sin upon himself. All right, the cross tells us that God is a God of justice. The second reason why Jesus had to die was because we cannot save ourselves. Throughout history, people have been trying to save themselves from the wrath of God. In many cultures and religions, this involves worshipping idols. Maybe going to witch doctors. Maybe sacrificing animals. And you can go to many countries today where they still do these sorts of things. I know it's not the way that people in Australia tend these days to try and save themselves before a holy God, but idols and sacrifices and witch doctors and those sorts of rituals are all part of the attempt that people make to try and appease this God who is wrathful. For Jews and also Muslims, it usually means involves following a complex system of rules and laws in order to somehow try and keep God happy. And so, you know, you obey the law according to the rules of the religion and you live that way, and hopefully God will view you as being a good person, at least good enough to satisfy his expectations. For many Westerners, and that includes us here today, it's normally about living up to some kind of standard which we think qualifies us to keep God happy. And so we think that being a good person is about maybe treating other people well, maybe being a sort of like an honest, law-abiding citizen in the community, giving to charity, even going to church occasionally. And so we have in our minds this sort of set of standards that we think are going to make us good enough for God. But the death of Jesus shows us very clearly that it doesn't matter how hard we try, we simply cannot save ourselves. We can't. If anyone could have saved themselves, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote 13 books in our New Testament. He is one of the most devout Christians who has ever lived. He was raised a very law-abiding Jew. He had the very best training as a rabbi and a Pharisee. He had all the qualifications and the connections that you could possibly want. But they couldn't save him. In fact, those things that he thought would make him good enough for God actually made it harder for him, because by living up to these standards, he thought that he was good enough for God. But he came to the realization that only Jesus can save sinners. Only the death of Jesus for us on the cross could satisfy God's demand for justice and gain us forgiveness. Only Jesus could rescue us from our predicament as sinners. And all of our good works, no matter how hard we try, are a waste of time. They are futile when it comes to trying to live a God-pleasing life. The cross tells us that we are not good enough, that only Jesus is. The third reason why Jesus had to die was because of God's extreme love for sinners. As we've already pointed out, God demands justice. And because of that, he has to punish sin. But it doesn't matter how righteous and just God is, we must never lose sight of the fact that the overwhelming quality, if you like, of God's character is his love for us. Whatever else the death of Jesus might say to us, the most deeply moving thing it says is simply, I love you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. There is no greater way to be able to show how much you love somebody than to be prepared to give your life for them, and that's exactly what Jesus did. In Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, we read these words. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In some way that we will never be able to fully understand, God the Father and God the Son, they agreed to take action together. What they decided to do was that Jesus would come and would give his life for those sinners that they loved. And when Jesus hung there upon the cross, again in some way that we can't fully understand, the relationship between God the Father and God the Son was temporarily broken in this greatest act of love that has ever been shown. But they took this action, the Father and the Son, because they loved people like us. And I just want to ask this morning, do you appreciate just how much God loves you? You think that maybe you're not really worthy of God's love when you examine your life? That maybe your sin is too evil or too shameful? The answer is to look to the cross. Look to the cross. That's where you see how much you're loved. What did verse 8 say there in Romans 5? But God demonstrates his own love for this, for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we were good enough. He died for us while we were in our sin. And sadly, there are people today, and maybe many people today, who only ever see an angry, judgmental God. And they're scared of that God. They feel uncomfortable. They feel like this God is always watching out to whack them every time they step out of line. They feel guilty all the time. But the cross is a continual reminder to us, friends, of the immensity of God's love for sinful people. And that's the reason why he sent his Son into the world to die in our place. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We sing that song around here, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. Do you know that love? Have you experienced that love? It doesn't matter what your life might look like. It doesn't matter what you may have done. It doesn't matter what is written in your book. You are never beyond the love of God. And God wants to rip those pages out of that book, make you a child of God, and give you a completely new start. That's the reason why Jesus had to die. Fourthly, Jesus had to die in order to defeat Satan. When evil first came into the world in the Garden of Eden, the instrument of that evil was the serpent, the snake, representing Satan. And if you look at Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, it tells us that Satan was a created being, that he was with the beings who are with God in heaven, but that he became proud, that he challenged God. And as a result of that, he was thrown out of heaven down to the earth. And from the moment that he came to earth, he took the opportunity to tempt Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And ever since that time, he has been tempting people and leading people to disobey God and to reject God. And since the sin of Adam there in the Garden of Eden, those who are his descendants have had an evil nature, a sinful nature. It tells us in Romans chapter 6 that we are slaves to sin. That's the way it describes this control that Satan has in the lives of people who are the descendants of Adam. There's only one way that we can be set free from that slavery, and that is by Jesus Christ. And it was there on the cross that Jesus defeated once and for all the power that Satan has over people. When Jesus died on the cross, he broke that power. A couple of days before Jesus went to the cross, he said these words. This is in John chapter 12, verses 31 to 33. "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out." That's referring to Satan. "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. The time came when the prince of this world was destroyed and defeated. Satan, friends, is in active opposition to God in this world, and we see tangible evidence of that all around us. He is the enemy of God. He has great power and influence in people's lives, and we shouldn't be under any illusions whatever about that. But even though we mustn't underestimate Satan, when we look to the cross, it is a constant reminder to us that he is a defeated foe. The cross is not just a sign of how Jesus suffered and died in the place of sinners. It is also a reminder to us that as Jesus suffered there, he was defeating once and for all the power of the devil over people's lives. There was a moment when people thought that Jesus hanging on the cross was a sign of Satan's victory over Jesus. But how short-lived it was, because actually, and it was confirmed, of course, 3 days later, when Jesus rose from the dead, it was the greatest victory that Jesus could have over Satan. And the Bible tells us that the day is coming when Satan and his team are going to be consigned once and for all to hell forever in the lake of fire. Satan is doomed because Jesus died on the cross. And as a result of that, those people who are trusting in Jesus are no longer slaves to sin. They're no longer in that slavery bound by Satan. They've been set free. And there's one other reason that I just want to mention this morning why Jesus had to die, and that was to make us right with God. As we've seen, God takes sin very seriously, and yet in love, God sent Jesus to take our punishment for us on the cross. When we trust in Jesus, when we look to Jesus and what he has accomplished there upon the cross, we then enter into a new relationship with God. Jesus was the perfect, sinless Son of God. He was righteous before God. But when he took our place upon the cross, he took our unrighteousness upon himself in order that he might be able to give his righteousness to us. Let's try and get your head around that for a moment. The righteousness of Jesus is given to us because he took our unrighteousness upon himself. And so if we put our trust in Jesus, well then what he has done for us there upon the cross gives us a whole new standing before God. God views us differently. God accepts us on the basis of what Christ has done. God declares us to be, if you like, in the right with God, because Jesus has taken our sin upon himself. And instead, he gives us his righteousness. And sometimes people call this the great exchange. That's what happens when you put your faith in Christ and what he's done on the cross. So when God looks at us now, he sees us through Jesus. on that day when we have to stand before God as our judge, God will look at us and he will see Jesus standing in our place. And he will say, not guilty. We're not guilty because we're perfect people. We're not. But we have a perfect Saviour. We have one who is righteous in the sight of God, one who has paid for our sin, one who has wiped the slate clean before God. The technical word that the Bible uses sometimes to describe this is that we are justified. We are justified before God. And we are justified because we have faith in Jesus and what he's done. When somebody comes along and maybe questions your Christian faith, maybe says, well, you're not a particularly good Christian, are you? What do you say when someone puts that charge to you? Maybe you could say something like this. I know I'm not good enough. I know I'm a sinner. A very poor and needy sinner at that. My only hope is in what Jesus has done for me. He died in my place. He took my sin. He's forgiven me. He's given me his righteousness. He has made me acceptable before God. So that when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. Friends, we have no righteousness of our own. We will never, ever be good enough for God if we keep trying to please him and live a life which meets his expectations and standards. The only thing that we can do is by faith in Jesus receive his righteousness, and we receive that as a gift. This is Good Friday. I want to ask you the question this morning. On what are you depending to make yourself right with God? Are you saying, well, I'm a respectable, clean-living person. I work hard. I pay my taxes. I drive mostly within the limits of the law. That's good enough. God will accept me on that basis. Maybe you're saying to yourself this morning, I've got the right connections. I move in the right circles. I've even got a few religious people among my circle of friends. They give me a bit of protection. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, the Ten Commandments. Yeah, I remember learning them when I was a kid. Yep, that's basically the rule of my life. And the golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto you. Friends, these are superficial things, and this is us trying to set the bar. I think that this is good enough for God. That's going to be the standard by which I live my life. The real problem is that we are sinners. And sin remains. It doesn't matter where we might set the standard. We are sinners. And God knows that we are sinners. There's only one way that sin can be dealt with, and that is through Jesus Christ. Only Jesus is good enough. And only a humble faith in him can make us right with God. And on that day when we have to stand before the Lord, and he says, why should I let you into my heaven? What are you going to say? Well, there's only one answer that's going to stand up in that moment, and that's something like this. Jesus died for me. He took my place on the cross. It's only because of him that I deserve to be in heaven. And friends, that is the message of Good Friday. That is the reason why Jesus had to die. Let's pray. Lord, today we are reminded of all that you accomplished through your death on the cross. Most of all, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for each one of us. Not one of us, Lord, is too bad for you. And we just want to say thank you this morning, Lord, for that supreme act of love. We don't fully understand it. We certainly don't deserve it. But it is so necessary for us to be made right with you. And Lord, I pray that you would show each one of us this morning how you want us to respond to that wonderful message. Lord, for some, it might be an opportunity once again to say, that is the best news I have ever heard. Today, I want to surrender my life to God because of what Jesus has done for me. Take me, Lord, as I am. Forgive my sin. Give me a whole new start as I trust in Jesus alone for my salvation. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning who is praying a prayer like that, oh Father, I pray that you will hear that prayer. And you'll help that person to find new life in Jesus Christ today. Thank you, Lord, that your word is the truth. Apply that truth to each one of us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.